The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email us your questions and we can answer them in future programs. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We've also got a great website with lots of interesting information and the opportunity to subscribe to a podcast of this program. If you want to go to hawaiianeye.com, you can find us there. Click on the radio show link to listen to previous radio show programs or subscribe to the podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, or Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. Lots of interesting information there. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz so that we can test your IQ. And we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lindblad. And they also help me out seeing patients and taking care of people at the two offices of the Hawaiian Eye Center at Wahiawa on Oahu and Hilo on the Big Island. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. We're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center. Speaking of the Hawaiian Eye Center, we had our annual big staff meeting yesterday, and that was our teams from all our different offices, different islands and different offices coming together and having the opportunity to meet and interact. And we also always try to use that opportunity to improve our service. And we had a special seminar, special meeting related to customer service. It's one of those things you can't do too well, customer service. And unfortunately, a lot of doctors don't think about it that way. They don't think about their patients as customers. They think about them as diseases. So, that case of heart problems is coming in, or that case of liver trouble is coming in. It's not, oh, that gentleman who is unfortunate and has a heart problem is coming in. So we do try to make sure that our staff are aware that when people come in for medical care, they're often in a situation where they're worried or concerned, or they are not sure what's going on, or they're unhappy or scared about their condition or about what's going to happen to them. And so we do try to educate our staff not only about what they need to know about eyes and eye care so that they can give the best help possible to our patients, but also to educate them about how to approach people so that they get a positive experience. And I think this is something that's lacking in medicine today, which is why I, at my company, put such a strong emphasis on it, is that we really don't always pay attention to the patient as an individual. You know, medicine has become so technologically oriented. We have scans for this and x-rays for that and special tests for this and that, blood tests. And so everything has become very technical, run through computers and special printouts and other types of things that give us information about the patient. You almost, you know, in many medical specialties, you almost don't even need to look at the patient at all. You could do everything based on scans and tests and other technology. And so fortunately, or unfortunately, I don't know, in eye care, that's not the case. We really do need to look at the eye to figure out what's going on in many people, although sometimes you can tell what's happening by listening to someone talk. And so that's why we have a radio show, because you can't see through the radio. So we have to figure out what's going on if people call us with questions just by listening to what they have to say. Where was I headed with this point here? I'm kind of rambling. But the idea is that I think that in medicine today that there ought to be an increased emphasis on taking care of the patient and the customer. And one of the things that I hear doctors saying is that because the patient is not really our customer, the insurance company is our customer, and the medical malpractice lawyers are our customers because they're the ones who determine whether our business is successful or not, that we don't treat the patient, we treat what the insurance company tells us to do or what the medical malpractice claims history would dictate we should do these extra tests so that we won't be sued and so forth. And this is something that probably is endemic in the system in medicine in this country today, and I don't think there's any quick fix for that, but it's something that definitely I hope that legislators in Congress will get around to dealing with as part of the overall addressing some of the issues that we have in healthcare today and help us to come up with ways to help people to be better cared for as individuals rather than just as disease entities, let's say. All right, I want to talk a little bit about getting out there and having a good time. This is the beginning of the Labor Day weekend, and I think based on who I saw where and what traffic yesterday, I think a lot of people are taking a extra long weekend. It looks like a lot of people took Friday off, and then they've got Saturday, Sunday, and many people have Monday off. And so this is a long weekend, long holiday weekend. Promises to be pretty nice weather-wise, it looks like, from what I can tell looking out the window today. So that means that a lot of people are going to be out there on the beach, out there on the water, out there walking and in the parks and enjoying themselves, and that's great. But when you go out there in the sun, especially here in Hawaii where the sun is very intense and the ultraviolet light is very strong, you want to protect yourself from the ultraviolet light from the sun. And you need to protect your skin, which is a big organ, and you need to protect your eyes, which is a smaller organ. So your skin you can protect by wearing clothing that blocks the sun, but a lot of people like to go out in the sun and take off a lot of their clothing and wear less clothing, bathing suits and so forth, shorts and things that allow the sun to hit their skin. So it is important to wear sunscreen to help protect your skin from sun damage and the ravages of sun damage over time. In the same vein, it's important to wear sunscreen for your eyes. And a sunscreen for your eyes is not coming in a tube because you can't put that kind of sunscreen in your eyes, but it comes in the form of sunglasses. Sunglasses are sunscreen for your eyes, and the sunscreen or the sunglasses need to block the ultraviolet light. So when you're looking for sunglasses, there's a couple of things you want to do to make sure you have sunglasses that are going to protect your eyes. And the other thing that you should do is wear a hat with a brim that helps to shade your eyes and reduce the amount of sun that's hitting your eyes and your face. The types of things that sunglasses should do in order to be as effective as possible is that sunglasses should block 100% of the UV or ultraviolet light. There are a couple of types of UV light that we talk about, primarily UVA and UVB, and you want the sunglasses to block both of those, both UVA and UVB, so that you get the full spectrum of protection. The other thing is you want the sunglasses to be big enough and to be shaped such that they help to protect the eyes from the sun entering the eyes from several directions. Sometimes, for fashion's sake, people wear very small sunglasses, although I notice that the trend, particularly in women these days, is to wear larger sunglasses, and I think that's a good thing because they do afford more protection of your eyes. But you want sunglasses that if they're not large, then at least they wrap around a little bit on the side so that wrap helps to protect the sunlight that's entering from the side and helps to reduce the amount of sun that's hitting the surface of the eye. The skin around the eye is also sensitive to sunlight, and skin cancers and of different types, more and less severe, can develop on the eyelids. And that's something to watch out for as well. Sunglasses that also protect the eyelids because they're big, the lenses are big enough, or a hat with a brim are good protections against those types of things. I would not put sunscreen directly on the eyelids or even on the skin around the eyes, because when sunscreen goes into your eyes from sweating or you go in the water and then it drips in, that can be very irritating to the eyes. And although most sunscreens are formulated not to be toxic to the surface of the eyes, we all know from experience that getting sunscreen in our eyes can be very uncomfortable and painful. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk about a little bit about some of the things that have come up in the office this past week, in particular, lumps and bumps on the eyelids.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost in paradise?
All right, you're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're here on the Hawaiian Eye Show, and if you have a question for us, we do have open phone lines. 521-8383 is the number to call. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number, and it's 1-888-565-8383. I usually like to start the early part of the program talking a little bit about some of the things that have come up in the office during the week. And one of the things that we've seen a few questions about this week has been little lumps and bumps around the eyelids. And it's actually quite interesting because you see some people with these big little lumps or bumps or growths or freckles or birthmarks around their eyelids, and they don't, you know, really even realize that it's there. And other people have this tiny, tiny little irregularity of the eyelid margin, and they go, look at this big thing I've got on my eyelid. Can you do anything about that? So the people's threshold for being aware of these types of things, little lumps, bumps, growths, other types of things on the eyelids is actually very variable. And I did have one gentleman came in one time a while back who wasn't concerned about this big thing on his eyelid. He was concerned about something else going on in his vision, and as a result of the eye examination, we looked at this big thing on the eyelid, and we said, oh, that doesn't look very good. We ought to, you know, take a piece of it in the operating room, take it out and send it to the lab. And sure enough, it turned out to be a pretty big skin cancer that required a fairly significant repair. And so being aware of little things on the eyelids is a good idea. Most things on the eyelids are benign. Most of the lumps and bumps and little things that you see on your eyelids are nothing to worry about. But occasionally there are things that are a problem could be skin cancers and could be more serious types of skin cancers as well. There are several types of skin cancers that we worry about around the eyelid. There are basal cell carcinomas, which are a little superficial skin cancers. They're superficial in the early stages, but they can become very, what we call, locally invasive. They can cause a lot of damage right around the area where the skin cancer is, but they tend not to move to other parts of the body. And there are a couple of other kinds of skin cancer that are less common around the eyelids but do occur. And one is a melanoma, which is a pigmented skin cancer which can metastasize or move to other parts of the body. And melanomas are very often quite dangerous and can kill people. And there's also sebaceous cell carcinomas, which are the glands of the eyelids, can develop into skin cancers, and these can be quite dangerous as well under some circumstances. And so those are the types of things that we worry about looking at things around the eyelids. But as I said, most things around the eyelids, most lumps and bumps and so on are perfectly benign. They're not dangerous. So how do you know, how do you separate a dangerous thing from a not dangerous thing? Well, the hallmarks or the changes that you'd look for to see if something might be dangerous or might be worrisome or might be a little skin cancer would be basically a couple of things changing over time with the appearance of it. If you have something on your eyelid that you've had since you were as young as you can remember and it really hasn't changed in that time, probably nothing to worry about. If over the past few months you've noticed a little growth or lump that's on the eyelid that's starting to get larger over time, then growth or significant change in size is a worrisome sign, and that ought to be checked out by a dermatologist, a skin doctor, or an eye specialist. And if you have a pigmented growth on the eye, if that pigmentation is changing shape, so it's, say it's dark, it's got pigment in it, and it's getting a different coloration of the pigment, or a shape change, or a size change, those are things that could potentially be a sign of something to worry about. Other things that are of some concern are spots or lumps or bumps that bleed easily. If you have a little lump on the eyelid and you rub your eye a little bit and you see it's kind of red or bleeding or crusting, that's something that could be a sign of something more dangerous. Other types of lumps and bumps on the eyelids, which are much more common, are things like styes. A stye is a clogged gland in the eyelid, perfectly benign, won't do any harm. There's a few situations in which styes absolutely should be removed. If it's in a child and it's blocking their vision for more than a few days, then it should be removed or somehow treated to make it shrink down, because children will have difficulty developing good vision if their vision is blocked. And so if the vision is being blocked by a large droopy eyelid because of a stye, then that may interfere with the normal formation of their vision, and that ought to be treated. That stye ought to be treated to allow them to see properly. Other things that would require the removal of a stye is if it was seemed to be getting infected. Most styes are not infections. They're just inflammatory processes that can become red and swollen, but they're generally not infected. But if there is evidence of infection, which seems to be spreading away from the area, the site of the stye, then that does need to be treated promptly. In most cases, those styes are just lumps on the eyelid. They can be a little painful for the first few days, and then it may either go away entirely, or it may become just a little hard nodule or lump in the eyelid, upper lid or lower lid. And these types of styes are generally, you know, we don't recommend doing anything about them unless they're giving you trouble. If they're causing blurring of the vision, or if they're causing a uncomfortable sensation, or interfering with your vision because there's a lump that's, you know, blocking your vision, those types of styes are often recommended for treatment. There's a couple different treatments for styes. The initial treatment is just warm compresses on the eyelid, and often it'll go away with that. So we usually give it a few days of warm compresses to see if it goes away. And probably about 80% of them go away with just the warm compresses. Sometimes they don't, and then if they don't, then you have the option of either an injection into the stye, which sometimes works, although it probably needs repeated injections most of the time, which may be two to three injections, or you can do a surgical removal or excision of the stye, and that's generally done by turning the eyelid inside out so that we're working on the inside of the eyelid, so it's less likely to leave a scar. And that's a painless procedure, although you know, sometimes a little pressure on the eyelid because we're turning it over and stretching it a little bit, putting some pressure on it. But it's typically a painless procedure that results in either mostly improving or completely resolving the sty. So medical styes have some medical names as well. So if you hear these names, you hear these doctors know that, say these names, you know what they're talking about. A sty that's kind of all swollen and acute, meaning it's just happened fairly recently, and there's a swollen eyelid and a red painful area, that's called a hordeolum. Hordeolum is a swollen, painful, inflamed area on the eyelid due to a clogged gland, a clogged meibomian gland. And then if it stays around for a while, it's called a chalazion, and a chalazion is spelled C-H. Some people call it chalazion because it's C-H-A-L. But we call it generally, I think it's from Greek, and it's pronounced chalazion as far as I understand. And this is the sort of the chronic phase of a sty, which is a kind of a lump, usually a round circle or lump in the upper lid or in the lower lid that you can often feel when you touch your lid and sometimes see when it's big enough to actually protrude or push the lid out. So styes are common causes of lumps and bumps in the eyelids, and they're perfectly benign. They generally don't cause any trouble or issues at all, except for some localized irritation and sometimes some cosmetic discomfort. People look in the mirror and say, I have this big lump on my eyelid. I don't like it. And typically it does go away by itself, but if not, then we can help it along with surgical procedures. What other types of things along the eyelids? We talked about skin cancers. We talked about styes, lumps and bumps. What other types of things? Well, as we get older, there are some common changes that people get in the skin of their face. It's partially hereditary. There are changes that that people get called seborrheic keratoses. Keratosis is just a thickened skin, a thickened folded skin. Seborrheic just appears, is like many things in medicine. It refers to the appearance. Seborrheic means, oily, or, yeah, I believe so, yeah. And, so it looks like a kind of an oily, thickened area on the skin, and sometimes they can be pigmented or they can be non-pigmented, but they can certainly occur around the eyelids, on the upper lids, lower lids, on the forehead, on the cheeks. And you see many people as they get older who have a tendency for this develop quite a few of them all over their faces. So these keratoses can actually be removed if they're causing trouble, but they don't need to be unless there's some kind of problem. They also can change shape over time, so sometimes they are confused with or can masquerade as skin cancers because they're growing or getting bigger over time, or they're becoming darker because sometimes the pigmentation will change. And so basically if you have a growth or a lesion on the eyelid that's changing or growing or getting more dark, darkly pigmented, then definitely need to get that checked out. It may just be a little seborrheic keratosis, but it may also be a skin cancer that needs to be removed and tested to see if more detailed or more extensive removal needs to be done. Okay, so what else are common problems on the eyelids? Well, there are common problems where the eyelids are not quite functioning properly. Sometimes you might have a droopy eyelid. This is called ptosis. It's called ptosis, sounding like it starts with a T, but actually starts with a P. Ptosis is spelled P-T-O-S-I-S. I'm sorry, P-T-O-S-I-S. Ptosis. And ptosis is a condition where the eyelid is drooping. It can be caused from age or it can be caused by neurological problems. And if you do suddenly notice a drooping eyelid, that's something that should be checked out by your eye specialist or at minimum by your regular family doctor. So ptosis, drooping eyelid. You can also have abnormalities of the position of the eyelid, and the eyelid can turn in or can turn out. When the eyelid turns out, the inner part of the eyelid, which is usually against the eye, gets quite inflamed because it's not as moist anymore. It's exposed to the air, and this becomes quite swollen and red in some people. This is called ectropion, but it can look very red and ugly, almost like a growth on the lower part of the lower eyelid because it has become so swollen and different than its normal appearance. So it almost looks like a red inflamed growth on the lower eyelid sometimes, but it's just a result of the eyelid turning out. This is called ectropion. The eyelid can also turn in, and since the eyelid is covered with eyelashes, these eyelashes would then rub against the surface of the eye, which is not terribly comfortable, as you might imagine. So most people who have entropion, or inturning eyelid, need to have that repaired, because otherwise they're very uncomfortable with the eyelashes rubbing against the surface of the eye constantly. Ectropion and entropion are repairable with surgical procedures. Okay, so a little bit about eyelids. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to have time for your calls. So think about what you want to talk to us about and give us a call.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 76 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. There are signs of progress as Louisiana starts to recover from Hurricane Isaac. More than 400,000 homes and businesses are still without power, but that's down from more than 900,000 earlier. Parts of coastal Plaquemines Parish are still underwater, but the mayor of Lafitte is allowing residents and property owners to return and start cleaning up. Mitt Romney and his running mate Paul Ryan are campaigning in Ohio today. Romney promised supporters in Cincinnati that as president, he would cut the deficit, work to balance the budget, open new markets for American products, and crack down on unfair trade practices by competitors. Police say alcohol was a factor in a hit-and-run crash on the Likelike Highway last night. A motorcyclist was traveling Makaibaum when he was rear-ended by a vehicle at 11:10 p.m. near Alu Street. He was thrown from the motorcycle and taken to the hospital in serious condition. The Honolulu man driving the vehicle that struck the motorcycle was arrested off Kamehameha IV Road a short time later. A 26-year-old man was arrested on various charges after his girlfriend reported she was held against her will and physically assaulted over a three-day period in Kalihi. The 26-year-old woman says the abuse began Monday afternoon and continued until Thursday. Her boyfriend allegedly threatened her with sharp objects and held her against her will. Police arrested a suspect on two counts each of kidnapping, first-degree terroristic threatening, and abuse of a household member. National and Hawaii flags are flying at half-staff today until sunset at state offices and agencies and the Hawaii National Guard in memory of former state legislator Mary Jane McMurdo. She served in the state Senate from 1984 to 1993 and the State House of Representatives from 1994 to 1996. Sunny, breezy, high near 90. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 76. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, currently 76.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so
long? You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're here in the second half of the program. This is the time when we traditionally take your calls. If you do have a phone call question for us that you'd like to ask, we do have open phone lines. If you're listening Saturday morning to the program, it's 521-8383 is the number to call. And if you're calling from the neighbor islands, you can reach us toll-free. Or from the mainland, if you're listening to us on the iHeartRadio app, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-565-8383. And so we're happy to try to answer questions that you might have about eyes. Is there a family member, a loved one that has had some kind of an eye problem and you'd like to know a little bit more about what that's about and what's going on? In the meantime, we have a couple of news stories that I've pulled out from the past week's news. You have a story here that says super glue could improve the safety of LASIK eye surgery. And it goes on to explain how some researchers recently reported that they used a special preparation of what's called a tissue glue, which is some couple of materials that when mixed together and exposed to ultraviolet light create a sort of an adhesive material, could be used to cover or close the flap after LASIK surgery. LASIK surgery is done by cutting or lasering a flap of tissue, which is then lifted off the surface of the eye, and then treatment is done under that flap to correct the vision, correct the focus of the eye, and then the flap is laid back down again. And that flap is not always secure when it's laid down again. It just gradually scars or adheres over time, but in the early stages it could be dislodged or moved, or something could happen that could distort the flap, and that could lead to difficulty with healing in the procedure. So these doctors decided that they could actually use this glue to secure that flap a little bit better right after surgery, and that might improve the outcomes of the surgery a little bit. So it's an interesting article there. Let's go to the phones. We've got Hank standing by in Palolo. Hi, Hank. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a question concerning eye puffiness that some of us will probably experience when we get older. But could you recommend any kind of a lotion or some kind of nutrient that we could take to prevent this eye puffiness, you know, under the eyelids?
Well, that's a good question, and a lot of people do ask about that in the office. Unfortunately, that is an age-related change where the skin is actually changing. The skin is not as taut as it used to be, and so the tissue behind the skin, which actually in that area is fat, because the fat surrounds the eyeball to protect it, it's like a cushion, and that fat pushes forward and it causes those bags or those pouches under the eyelids. Now, once in a while, puffiness is caused by swelling around the eye. That's actually fluid. And the way you know the difference is because the swelling or the fluid around the eye will become better and worse as the day goes on. The puffiness that most people describe that's related to aging is just the same pretty much day and night. Unfortunately, I don't know of any creams, medicines, ointments, or vitamins that do anything to improve that. Keeping your eye, your skin lubricated with regular moisturizing cream is probably about the best you can hope for, but I don't think it'll really make it go away. There are surgical techniques, though, for people who are concerned about it that can actually improve that.
Okay. Chris, I asked because I read some of these ingredients that said it relieves or reduces eye puffiness. So I just wondered what you thought about those ingredients.
Yeah, those things, you know, may give some very slight or mild improvement, but there's nothing that's really likely to give you any significant lasting improvement. So I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I don't think that there's any really good treatment for that other than just either living with it or having plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery to repair it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Probably you discussed this before, but on this Obamacare, will it affect your profession and the people that have to seek eye care?
Well, it's going to affect everyone to some degree, and in some ways in positive ways, and in some ways, you know, perhaps not such positive ways. It's a very big, broad law that covers a lot of ground. And, you know, most people don't fully understand the ramifications. So, I mean, some things are going to be very positive, like it's going to cover more people with insurance. And so by having insurance available to more people are going to have access to medical care. So that's a good thing. It's going to have a benefits on covering certain types of things as routine screenings that currently aren't covered, so that people can get more sort of a proactive health issue, so they can take care of certain health problems before they become real problems. And these are things that are mostly going to have an impact on insurance companies. The things that are going to have impacts on doctors and patients directly are a little bit more subtle. These are ways of trying to reduce waste in the Medicare system, for example, by trying to crack down on doctors that abuse the Medicare system. But our concern is that sometimes they'll crack down on people who aren't abusing the system and make it harder for us to deliver care and make maybe fewer people want to take Medicare patients as a result. So we don't know that that's going to happen, but that's one possible concern. If the Medicare system, pays too little money to doctors, then fewer doctors will take Medicare as well. And so if they try to cut too much money from that, that could have an impact on access to Medicare as well. But I think that there are a lot of good things in the healthcare plan. I think that there are some things that need some work. And I think that, Congress really needs to get to work on figuring out what's the good parts and what they should keep and what are the parts that are maybe not so ideal that they should modify, and so that we can move forward and cover more people and increase the access to care and make sure that the costs of healthcare don't go through the roof and make us broke. So I can't really answer specifically whether it's going to have an effect on you or me. It's going to have some effect, but I don't think it's going to have a huge effect.
Okay. How about for cataract surgery?
Yeah, I mean, cataract surgery is a necessary surgery that we, that eye specialists do all the time. And I think that, there's always going to be people who need cataract surgery, and there's always going to be cataract surgeons until we find a way to fix cataracts without surgery. So that's always going to be covered, I think.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. All right, we've got to go to the phones. Also, we've got Jean standing by in Kaneohe. Hey, Jean, you still there?
Yes, I am. Hello, doctor. I'm calling for my brother. He has an issue with his left eye. He had a stroke in his left eye 4 to 5 years ago, and that eye went blind. So his right eye has gotten very cloudy, and he has a hard time with his vision. So he went to see his doctor. He asked the doctor if he can have the cataract taken out, but the doctor told him that, no, there's nothing that can be done. I was just wondering that what he can do if he cannot get the cataract surgery and he can't see that well anymore.
Well, there's two questions that I would have, and I don't know because I, was not the one who checked him, or I don't know what the results of the examination were, but basically there are, the first question is...
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I'll interrupt you. He's diabetic.
Uh-huh. So the first question is there what is causing his vision loss? And so that I don't know and you don't know, but the eye specialist probably knows, and
uh-huh.
It could be related to the diabetes, it could be macular degeneration, it could be partially related to the cataract, it could be other things. And so the first question is, what's causing the vision loss? And then once we have the answer to that question, then we have a better idea of what type of treatment might be indicated. So if cataract is not causing any of the problem, then doing something about the cataract is not going to help.
Right.
But
right.
He doesn't know what's causing the problem, so the doctor didn't do a very good job maybe of explaining what was causing the problem, whether it's a diabetic condition, whether it's a macular degeneration.
So it is, he said, it's a diabetic.
Okay. And is he being treated for the diabetic condition? Are his eyes being monitored and treated for that?
He goes to the doctor off and on, and he puts eye drops, and he takes medication. But other than that, he exercises, and, so the doctor just told him to, there's nothing can be done. So he's kind of, feeling down about that.
Sure. Well,
yeah.
Would he
stop going blind or something if he can't do anything for that eye?
Well, I don't know because I don't know what the condition is, so I can't really give you an answer to that. But he has a couple of options. One is that if he feels like he really doesn't know what's going on, he can sit down next time he goes to the doctor. He can sit down with the doctor and say, "Doctor, listen, I really don't know what's going on. What are my hopes for the future? Is this going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Is there anything else we can do?" And, and have a discussion that way. Second possibility is he can go for a second opinion. He can go see a different doctor and say, "Listen, I've been going to this doctor for a while and he tells me there's nothing they can do. Is that true? What's going on? Can you explain it to me?" And then hopefully he finds someone who's good at explaining and, gets that information medicine that he needs so that he at least understands what's going on. And the third thing is, if his vision really is difficult and he's having trouble with daily activities and getting around, there are things called low vision clinics. So for people who have poor vision in their eyes, who want to be able to use that little bit of vision that they have a little bit better, you can be referred to a low vision clinic. There's one that the state runs, which is called Ho'opono.
Yes, I'm aware of that one.
Right, and then there are several that are within private practices. I know some of, at least one of the retina practices in town does some low vision work, and they can help use magnifiers and other visual aids and technology to try to improve the function of the individual with limited vision. So, you know, some people have poor vision and get around really well, and some people have poor vision and really just sit in a corner and say, feel sorry for themselves. And so if he is having difficulty with his vision, but the rest of his health is good, you said he exercises and so forth, then he definitely shouldn't be sitting in a corner every day and getting depressed. He should, you know, learn to live with reduced vision and compensate for that. So low vision clinic might help him with that.
Okay, I'll talk to him about this. Thank you so much.
Okay, aloha.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll go ahead through some more eye news, and we'll talk a little bit about macular degeneration, which is a cause of reduced vision for many people as they get older.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
All right, welcome back. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora, where we're talking about eyes. Interestingly enough, it is called the Eye Show, so I guess it's good that we're talking about eyes. If you have eye-related questions, give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. We're here live on Saturday morning, and you can also visit us during the week online. HawaiianEye.com is a great place to get information. One of the things I like about the HawaiianEye.com website is that they have a tour. A virtual tour of a cataract procedure is what we call it, virtual tour. So if you don't know, if you're considering having cataract surgery, particularly at our surgery center, at Hawaiian Eye Center, and you don't really know what to expect in a cataract procedure, the tour kind of takes you on a step-by-step tour of what a patient with a cataract might experience from the time that they walk through the door and have their eyes examined to the time when they walk out of surgery with clearer, improved vision. And so it's an interesting interesting to see the whole pathway from beginning to end. So check out HawaiianEye.com, and you can also find references to some of the news stories that we talk about on our Facebook page, facebook.com/HawaiianEyeCenter, and we tweet about some of these things as well. Visit me on Twitter at Dr. Tortora. Follow me on Twitter, like us on Facebook, go get into that social media. There's a lot of great information out there. I see an article here that I came across this past week about a website which is called healthyanswers.com. And the information in this particular healthyanswers.com website on a an issue related to cataract surgery is actually kind of, a little bit misleading. It says here that recent healthyanswers.com health alert reported that research out of Russia and Italy has shown that a chemical called carnosine, which is an antioxidant, may help dissolve cataracts and improve vision and prevent certain cataract surgery. And so basically what it says is that this carnosine as an antioxidant has been shown in laboratory animals to reduce the development of cataracts in animals who had actually had induced cataracts through experimental means. They had developed cataracts, and then they were given this medication in eye drop form, and it was found to reduce their cataracts or improve their cataracts. This antioxidant, the carnosine, apparently could not be delivered well on the in an eye drop form because it wasn't absorbed by the eye, so it was modified and put into some kind of a vehicle so it could be delivered in the eye. And these drops are available through health food stores and online, I believe. I believe they're called L or D carnosine, which is a formulation into it's called N-acetylcarnosine. That's it. Okay, N-acetylcarnosine is how these are sold in online mostly, and perhaps in some health food stores. Although I haven't seen them in health food stores specifically. And so the claim, the marketing claim of these drops, and something that's kind of healthyanswers.com seems to support, is the claim is that these drops can actually dissolve and reverse cataracts and prevent people from needing surgery for cataracts. And it actually turns out that if you look at the information and the studies closely on these types of drops, that yes, they do help improve clarity of the lens of the eye, which is what a cataract is, a clouding of the lens. They help improve clarity of the lens of the eye in certain very early forms of cataract. But in people who have visually significant cataract, cataract blurring the vision, this generally is not improved just with eye drops, as far as any research that I'm aware of has shown. And these have not really been studied terribly well, terribly scientifically. So maybe it may make for an interesting study down the road, maybe something that could have some benefit, some application. But as far as I know, this N-acetylcarnosine is not terribly helpful in people who have visually significant cataracts. The only things we know that do play a positive role in preventing the progression or worsening of cataracts over time is vitamin C and vitamin E seem to have some benefit in moderate doses, not high doses, and also reduction of exposure to ultraviolet light. We started out this program saying, have a great Labor Day, wear your ultraviolet blocking sunglasses. Well, there's another good reason. The ultraviolet blocking sunglasses help to reduce the development and progression of cataracts over time. Sunlight or UV light hitting the lens of the eye is definitely a risk factor for cataract over time because it does cause oxidative damage or oxidative stress, which can help, which can worsen the opacity or the clouding of the lens in the eye. All right, we've got a couple of articles here about the development and progression of macular degeneration. Macular degeneration is a condition that tends to affect older people, so it's typically actually called age-related macular degeneration, typically abbreviated AMD. A for age-related, M for macular, D for degeneration. Age-related macular degeneration is generally results from changes from age, and sunlight may also play a role, so another reason to wear sunglasses when you're outdoors. But the age-related macular degeneration affects the central part of our vision, what's called the macula, and the macula is responsible for the clearest, sharpest central vision, allows us to see words on a page, allows us to recognize people's faces, to see the hands on a clock, and all of the things that require fine detailed vision, driving and so forth. And so people who have macular degeneration and lose some of their central vision don't go blind altogether. So macular degeneration doesn't make you entirely blind, but it does significantly affect the central vision and make it much more difficult to get around. So people who have macular degeneration are eagerly looking for any progress on the macular degeneration front that may help to reduce the effects of macular degeneration over time. And there are drugs available now that can actually improve macular degeneration or can at least stabilize it in many cases to keep it from getting worse over time. These drugs unfortunately need to be injected into the eye once a month in order to have their maximum effect, so it is kind of a hassle to get this type of treatment, but it is something that has been shown to be helpful. But an article that I have here suggests that the earlier this type of treatment is initiated when someone has wet macular degeneration. Macular degeneration is divided into wet and dry, and wet macular degeneration, or macular degeneration in which there's bleeding in the eye or in the retina, is that form of macular degeneration that does respond to these injections in the eye. So it says here, new onset of wet AMD, or macular degeneration, should be treated immediately. It says a retrospective review evaluated whether time elapsed between the onset of disease symptoms and treatment with ranibizumab affected visual outcomes. The 45 patients were divided according to how long they experienced visual symptoms before treatment, and they divided them into less than 1 month, or 1 to 6 months, or greater than 6 months. While all patients showed improved vision with the treatment, patients experiencing symptoms for less than 1 month had a significant increase in best corrected visual acuity compared with those with a longer duration of the macular degeneration. So good information that says that if you have early macular degeneration, it should be treated promptly. So what do you need to look for? If you're getting older, if you're over 65 or 70, and you notice a distortion of the vision is occurring, straight lines look wavy, or a print starts to be more difficult to see, there's distortion of the print, then get in to check right away so that you can see whether that's macular degeneration or maybe something else causing changes in your eyes and your vision. The next study that was done according in this that I have here in these articles with macular degeneration is a trial called an IVAN trial, and this compared two of the drugs that we have for treatment of wet macular degeneration. One of them is called ranibizumab and the other one's called bevacizumab, and those are tongue twisters, huh? And the two drugs are actually made by the same company, but one is much cheaper than the other. So the company would like the more expensive one to be the one that works better, but actually most of these studies have been suggesting that both treatments work fairly equivalently. So this IVAN trial was done, and it supports other findings that were done by an American-sponsored program. This IVAN study sponsored also by the government to figure out whether there was an advantage to one of these treatments or another. Okay, so we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've had a lot of fun. I hope you have too. And I'd like to thank our staff here and Stephen for helping out here in the studio. And I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, be sure to listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer your questions over the air in coming weeks. Don't forget to check out our website, hawaiianeye.com. And you can subscribe to a podcast of the radio program there. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. That's D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. We like being in Central Oahu because it's great from a traffic standpoint. Don't have to worry about finding traffic and going to town. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu, or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's Looking at You.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
America's Anchorman, Rush Limbaugh.
It's the most gutless choice one can make. Be a liberal.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHVH, Honolulu.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.